Welcome to Nightfall Narratives with Oxford Public Library. We will be bringing you some of the strange and unusual narratives from the public domain once a week. You can download the audio and listen at your convenience from our website, www.oxfordpl.org, or you can follow us on social media. Now, let's get started. Don't get scared now. Fear by David R. Solomon. Sudden quiet fell. There came a restless stirring, then tacit agreement. These men of rougher enjoyment, axemen, chainmen, engineers, centered their gaze upon Coulter's bandaged left arm. All of them were employees of the Consolidated Lumber Company. Coulter was in the legal department. There had arisen a nice question as to the exact ownership of a certain tract, rather than take chances with the heavy statutory penalties for cutting trees upon another's land, they had sent a lawyer upon the ground. City-bred, city-born Coulter had welcomed the chance to see a southern swamp. He had read all his life of Dixie, the land of magnolia and cotton, of the mockingbird and the honeysuckle. He had welcomed his mission. He had even brought his daughter, Ruth. They had not been separated longer than a day since the gray dawn that the other Ruth had placed the tiny bundle in his arms and turned her face to the wall. The child was all that was left of their love, save memories. She was Coulter's sole interest in life. Coming to this camp, Coulter had clad her in khaki and turned her loose in the open. It had done her good. They knew something of what he was thinking. They had heard him in the midst of his pain, setting his teeth, gasp, "Get Ruth away where she can't hear." That from a man whom they had to restrain from killing himself to get freedom from the torture was enough. Coulter's ignorance of the South and of the woods had been, perhaps, to blame. He did not know. All that he could remember was that he had been bending over the spring, his left arm resting upon the brink. He had not seen the moccasin until it was too late. Vividly, even yet, he saw the darkish head and body, the supple writhing, the swift dart, and the flash of pain, and then agony. Much agony, deep, soul-biting torture. There was no doctor at the camp. There had been a delay before. Stupefied, he thought to let them know he had been bit. And then, more agony, agony piled upon agony. Not concealing their doubts as to their chances of saving his arm, or him, they had slapped the rough tourniquet upon his arm, and had twisted down upon the stick until he moaned, unwillingly, in pain. Then they had dipped one of their hunting knives into boiling water and had cut his arm at the bite marks, gashing it across with great free-handed strokes, then back again at right angles, squeezing the cuts to make him lose the poisoned blood. Then they had cauterized the wound, the white-hot iron that seared his flesh, tormenting the agonized ends of nerves that already had borne past the breaking point, was the final, exquisite touch of agony. He had not known they were through. He had thought they were preparing additional crucifixion for him. Red Flannel Mike had slapped the gun from his hands and made him understand somehow that it was all over, that they were through. But they watched him the rest of the night. That was why, as the argument rose around the morning campfire, Coulter was very sure that he knew what he would do under one set of circumstances. He knew one experience that nothing on earth could send him through again. All that and more was in his tone as he spoke. The bravest man that ever trod the earth had his one especial dread. To some it is fire, to others cold steel, others still the clash of physical contact. But probe deep enough beneath the skin of any man alive and you find it. Snakes were Coulter's fear. Then his whole frame stiffened. His eyes were riveted upon little Ruth. One by one, the rest of the gang turned to follow his gaze. Each followed his example. Ruth's scream cut the air. The kid's got a moccasin on her. Get a gun, quick! The reptile drew back its head. There came an interruption. White to his lips. Staggering upon his feet, Coulter came forward. Slowly, he edged closer, the slender head poised, watchful. Suddenly, his well arm shot out, seizing, snatching at the loathsome body. There was a quick movement of the snake, far too rapid to be anticipated or avoided. He felt the white-hot flash of pain. The rest was a haze of horror to him. Everything faded out then. His return to consciousness was marked by a hazy lightness of memory. Red Flannel Mike's broad back was bent from him as he mixed at something in a basin. They had carried him to his own tent. Coulter's holster was hanging from the tent pole. He softly slid the gun from the holster and raised it for action. The weapon dashed suddenly from his hand. What the? Roared Mike. You fool. What's the matter with you? You're as bad as Baldy Jenkins. Been in the woods all his life and mistakes a coach whip for a moccasin just because both of them are darkish. And that wasn't any more a moccasin than a polar bear. Yes, course he struck you, and any snake will do that. But it ain't always poison. Your arm ain't even gonna be sore. This has been Nightfall Narratives with Oxford Public Library. We hope you enjoyed these strange and unusual stories. We will see you again soon. Goodbye for now.